Hi, I'm Steve Mileto from the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
If schooling looks the same way now as it did when we were in school, then we are failing.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, welcome into episode 104. Thanks again for tuning in. If you're new here, I know you are going to get a lot of value out of this episode and this show. If you haven't yet, please subscribe so that you get notified of all new episodes. Just a reminder, we are still in the midst of not just one, but two episodes coming out over the next couple of weeks. Here in episode 104, my guest is another one of the amazing leaders that I have gotten to know through the Teach Better Mastermind. Ryan Scott is a school administrator, and he has some great ideas that I can't wait for you to listen to, including how to improve rural education and also how to really rethink and redefine the purpose of education. Again, I'm so excited for you to listen. So coming up is my interview with Ryan Scott. My next guest in this episode is Ryan Scott. Among the long list of interviews that I've been doing recently with amazing leaders who I have met as part of the Teach Better Mastermind, Ryan is a teacher turned administrator, spent some time as a principal, now a high school assistant principal, podcaster in his own right. Ryan, welcome to the show, and please introduce yourself, you know, who you are, where you are, and what you do.
Dan, thank you so incredibly much for having me today. But yes, I am a high school AP from the beautiful, and you never know what type of season you're going to have in Western Kentucky. I am in Dixon, Kentucky, which is Webster County, an administrator at Webster County High School. Prior to coming here, I was a principal at an elementary for 2 years. Prior to that, I spent 10 years as a elementary teacher, spanning the ranges from kindergarten to math RTI, and I dabbled and did quite a bit in teaching phonics and teaching kids to read, which was phenomenal.
Well, I guess let me ask you this on the onset here. What is school looking like for you these days? You know, in-person, hybrid, remote?
Well, right now we are hybrid. We came back after the Christmas break. We did a week of virtual, and then we jumped into hybrid. We've been in hybrid for 2 weeks now.
Now, when you say you came back after Christmas break, was the beginning of the year all remote and then you came in hybrid after? Or was it like we took a little bit of a break just around the holiday time and now we're back to hybrid?
So the beginning of December, we went 100% remote. And we stayed that way until, after the first week of January. And now we have transitioned to the hybrid model. Now, in our district, we have a hybrid model, an in-person model, a virtual model, and a remote model.
How's that working out? Just curious.
It's going pretty good. In my role, I primarily have been tasked with making sure those virtual kids, so these are the kids that are at home 100% of the time, working on Edgenuity, to do all of their coursework. And it's kind of been my job, what we're calling the orange and the red list. So it's our kids that have kind of dropped off the face of the earth or fallen behind. So, you know, I've really been able to, in this particular season, ramp up my relationships and my connections before content theory, practice to try to motivate these kids to stay where they need to be.
Can I ask you to be a little more specific there? Like, what are the kind of things that you're doing? What sort of tricks do you have up your sleeve to do that? You know, I was actually like minutes before we started recording here, I was actually talking to my wife about the fact that I just took a look at some numbers that came out of the most recent board meeting here in the town that I live in. And I was shocked to see how many students are opting, or families are opting, for students to be remote. And it was a much, much higher number, like over 70% of the middle school and high school students versus 25% at our lowest elementary school, K-1 and 2, and I think about 40% at our 3, 4, and 5 school. But I think the problem with that, correct me if I'm wrong, if you think otherwise, is that parents and families, obviously, when they need to continue working and doing their thing, feel like middle school and high school students are old enough to be by themselves. Therefore, they might be responsible enough to do all the things that their teachers are asking them to do. But we know now, especially at the middle school and high school level, I would think, you know, students are not engaging. They're not on computers and cameras as much as they should be, not completing their assignments as much as they should be. And it's really tough. And I know that that is not unique to my town, my school, your school, it's everywhere. So just wondering, I guess, if you might be able to share some of what you're doing to help engage students.
Yeah. So a couple things to that point, like I tell staff and I tell people around here all the time, you know, we are for some reason surprised when kids act like kids. You know, middle school and high school kids, you know, even though some of those kids, some of those seventh graders might be taller than me, might be shaving, might have arm hair and underarm hair and everything else, but they are at the end of the day still kids. And kids need structure. Kids need routine. And in the light of where we're at now, especially when those kids are, like you said, tasked or asked to stay home by themselves, then we really wonder why, you know, they're falling behind. And in my experience, I'm not just seeing kids that come from, you know, homes with poor home lives. These are kids across the gamut. And what I've really been surprised with, a lot of our kids that are doing not so well are the ones that come from really, really good households, or prior to this were straight A students. You know, one thing we sometimes fail to give credence to is a lot of these kids are also tasked with watching brothers and sisters while they are home. And then we are surprised that they fall behind. You know, we talk about stress and we talk about our body's response, fight, flight, or freeze. Well, when kids get stressed, they freeze up. And one thing I think we have learned, or I have learned, is that procrastination, really at the root cause of procrastination, is that freeze mechanism. So a lot of these kids, they're not intentionally not turning in homework. The stresses of life and the stresses of reality, they are freezing up. And so what I have really tried to make it a point, whether this is right or wrong, you know, some districts have policies against friending kids on Facebook or on Twitter or on social media and whatever. But I've kind of went against the grain on that, because if we are to reach these kids, we have to reach them on their level. And our students, that is how they interact. They interact on social media. You know, I get their phone numbers. I text them. I call them. I shoot them messages on Facebook, just, you know, how are you doing? I ask about them. If I am monitoring their progress, I see they, you know, had a really good day of work, I'll shoot them a message. I'll shoot them a voice message saying, hey, man, I saw you painting. You know, you did really good on that lesson today. You know, you got through it. You spent 4 hours today. So that's kind of what I've done. And then also during December, I did this initiative, where I asked some of my friends, I used the social media route to get donations. And then I reached out to some of my most struggling kids and I asked them to shoot me a Amazon list of three things that total $100 that would make you happy. So like nothing to buy for someone else. I had several single mothers. I said, nothing for your baby. This is for you to make you happy, because in my opinion, those kids have lost hope. They have a low hope coefficient. So reaching out to them, showing that we care, showing that we're in their corner, building that relationship, for the most part, has really helped.
I did want to, you know, kind of flip the switch a little bit, shift gears, because as I mentioned when I introduced you, you are a fellow podcaster. I know it's a little bit soon in the podcasting journey for you, but you have this Big Ed idea. And it actually reminds me of, I have a friend who's also a podcaster, Brad Schreffler, who does the Planning Period podcast. And, you know, he kind of asks his same three questions to all of his guests. And one of them is like, what's the biggest problem in education? And so he coined the phrase like the big Q in EDU. And so oh, that cool. kind of reminds cool. me of, yeah, that kind of reminds me of what he's doing as well. But yours is a little bit different in the sense that you're trying to, correct me if I'm wrong, trying to look at people who, you know, have sort of their own individual kind of unique vision or mission for how they want to improve and transform education. And that idea is basically what they want to accomplish, let's say, right? So how's it going so far? And what are you learning, I guess, so far in, you know, when you talk to guests and when you get to talk to people about the big idea that they have?
Yeah, so I've always kind of been one of those people that I guess I like to stretch the boundaries. I like to think big. I'm very vision driven. But as you probably know, most of the time, people that are very vision driven need help with people that are very passion driven. You know, sometimes we can have the best visions, but I'm not exactly sure how to get there. You know, so the podcast idea of the podcast is to get one person's vision out there, just get it out there into the world, and with the hope that someone will attach to it, will be passionate about what they're saying, and then those two people can connect and get the ball rolling. What I have learned through this, number one, is that podcasting is extremely addicting. I love talking to like-minded people. You know, I think deep down, most of us have ideas, but I think sometimes we feel like we shouldn't share them, either because of, maybe a professional environment they're in that's just not very conducive to thinking outside of the box. Maybe there's some anxiety within that person. But at the end of the day, all of those people, in my opinion, want to change the world. So let's get their stuff out there. I have met some really cool people. Today, I'm actually recording episode number 4. But I think I have enough guests lined out that I'm going to get over that magic 7, because I've been told that 7 is the magic number for podcasts to keep it rolling. So I think I'm going to do that. But I've just really, really, really enjoyed meeting all of these people in the Edgesphere and out in Twitterverse, and, you know, get enough of us together and we're going to change the world.
That's great, man. Actually, I'm hoping that you'll indulge me a little bit here. I was looking to kind of turn the tables on you. Do you have kind of that big idea or that one thing that you, whether it's something that you're just really passionate about, that you bring with you to your work and at your school, or maybe just that bigger vision that you have for education? What do you think would be like your big Ed idea?
So there's a couple of them. I'll hit real quick on, you know, rural schools. Our rural America is literally dying. At least where we're from, tax base has just disseminated. We used to be a very, very affluent county because of coal. Well, that's gone. And there's not really anything ever coming in to take its place. So one of my ideas is that rural education has to be a little bit different than urban education. Now, I don't mean like the pedagogy side. I just mean what our stresses are, and, you know, what we stress. To me, especially at the secondary level, our high schools really should be gearing their courses towards their communities. I know locally we only have about 30% of our kids that go to college, but we keep stressing AP curriculum. To me, that's a little counterintuitive because we're just essentially we're feeding the brain drain. So instead, I would like to see rural communities focusing much more heavily on the CTE side, building more of the co-ops. I would like to see investment in broadband so that, you know, like I tell people every day, we're about 2 hours from Nashville. There is no reason that somebody here cannot telework into Nashville, do some type of coding, computer work in Nashville, bring a Nashville paycheck, and then spend it here locally. That type of economy would be absolutely transformative. Next idea, and I'm going to stop it here because I've got tons of ideas. That's kind of selfishly why I had the podcast. I think our three levels of education need to be specifically geared to certain things. Right now, it's like every K through 12 has the same standards, but we go a little bit deeper. We do something a little bit deeper with that standard. To me, at its base, elementary needs to work on SEL. It needs to work on overcoming the epidemic of learned helplessness that we don't talk about. It needs to really be geared toward the psychology of getting these kids, well, because we have 50% of kids coming into kindergarten in poverty, now we have 50% of kids with those side effects of poverty. One being learned helplessness, two being social and emotional intelligence deficits. So to me, at the K through five level or K through six, whatever you are, that's what our elementary should really, really stress. And then on top of that, the basics, you know, phonics, numeracy, writing, you know, the very, very, very basics, and let's get them the mastery. Then at the middle school level, let's start throwing in some collaboration, some communication, some of those five C's, sprinkle them in there. And then at the high school level, it should all be about application. Like it should be about competencies. It should be about designing projects, real world applications, because I feel like what we're doing, I mean, let's be honest, it's not really working. And I think we're trying to do too much too fast. And instead, I have this idea of slow down early to speed up later.
You know, I love that. And it's a little timely in the sense that I've actually seen two different things, or one I might have heard on a podcast very recently, like over the last 2 or 3 days, that speak to the points that you're making. One of them was how I think it was schools in China, maybe somewhere in Asia, where like quite literally the goal of the first 2 or 3 years when students are in the lower elementary grades is, like you said, the SEL component and just learning how to be a student. Learn. Yeah. You know, and get along with other kids and like the real basics, like the fundamentals. But I don't mean fundamentals academically. Those kind of are secondary. And yes, they work on them, but it's not the primary goal of those grade levels and those age levels. And then the other thing that you mentioned was about each grade band focusing on different things. I don't think I've ever really heard it put like that before, and I really appreciate that. But what I have heard, and I think I was just listening to a podcast within the last couple of days where someone was really emphasizing this, you know, for a long time, it has seemed like what each grade band really is focused on, and I'm not saying it's right, clearly it's not, is just to get students ready for that next grade band. Absolutely. You know, the elementaries, oh, you're going to, you know, now in middle school, you're going to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different teachers in all different subject areas, and we got to get you ready for that. In middle school, it's we got to get you ready for high school because, you know, those teachers are going to give you deadlines and you have to meet them. And if you don't, there might be consequences. And then college, it's like you're going to choose your own schedule and you might have, you know, assignments thrown at you, or maybe you just get like dates and deadlines and you got to really work hard and your professors aren't going to help you. Like it's the same thing. But, I definitely appreciated the point you said too about like, let's just slow down and really think hard about the developmentally where kids are at in those grade bands and really how do we take what we know about the development of kids and meet that with sort of more of that real world relevancy. I think that's how I would put it.
Yeah. So I think we have, so one of my things, if schooling looks the same way now as it did when we were in school, then we are failing. We are doing something drastically different. The society is different. The world is different. The economy is different. When I say this, I really, really mean this. Our purpose of education is not the same as it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. At that time, it was content driven because it could be content driven. We had the family structure to be able to teach life as it is now. And I tell my people all the time, we literally raise kids. If you think about it, if you really take the time to think about it, homes that have two working parents, how long do they actually see those kids every single day? And I'm guilty I have four kids of my own. I get home from work at 5 o'clock. We rush to do the dinner. Then we rush for baths. Then we rush for books. We might get an hour on the couch together. So, you know, what truly in those 3 hours am I teaching to my own girls about how to be a successful adult? It is not the same as it used to be, where you had one parent at home with the children all the time. You know, society was much different. So if you really think about education has to be set up to raise these kids now. It has to be. And we also flip the script. We have here in the United States, 20% of our kids living in poverty. And then in Finland, which has the greatest education system of the world, based on all kinds of different metrics, their poverty rate's only 5%. Now, I'm not saying that's causation, but it could be correlation. And is that because of the economy or is it because of the familial structure? I don't know, but I think one thing we really need to start talking about is the purpose of education for laying down those foundations that, like I said, the families used to be able to do. But quite honestly, we aren't able to do anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think a lot of what drives me, you know, personally and professionally as well, is getting kids prepared for life beyond school. And like you said, how differently the world looks now than it did before. I think, you know, we mentioned the podcasting thing a little while ago about how it's addicting and stuff like that. I mean, those of you listening to this show right now, you know, first of all, thank you. But then, you know, I'm thinking that this is probably not the only podcast you listen to. Sure. And perhaps you yourself are a creator of a podcast. And when I think about that kind of a shift that has been made in the world over the last handful of years, where anybody can have a platform, whether it's an audio podcast, a YouTube channel where you're pushing out video, blogging, writing books. You know, I mean, I don't know about you. I feel like there are new education books, blogs, podcasts, YouTube channels, like popping up every single day.
Everywhere, you know? Yeah.
And sometimes it might, to me, I don't know, I'll admit, it might feel like a little bit of an information overload because I do suffer from a little bit of a fear of missing out. So I feel like I need to try and consume everything.
Yeah, sure, I get it.
But it's amazing. And, you know, I think we mentioned this on the podcast before, especially when I had a conversation with Dr. Saba Kidwai about the World Economic Forum and where they've projected the world will be in the next few years and what skills students really should be coming out of school with, including even social influence. So we mentioned the 4 or 5 C's. Yeah, that's important. That's really important. But also, let's project and predict where the world is going to be several years down the road, 10 years down the road, and try and prepare for that. And clearly, schools haven't done that. Now, again, we're recording well ahead of when this episode will be published, but we're 2 days away from a new administration in our government, which includes having an educator in the White House as our new First Lady, And my home state of Connecticut's own, I guess, former education department secretary. I don't know what his I honestly don't know what his title was beforehand, but he's becoming our new education secretary. And so we'll finally get someone back in that position who really belongs to be there as well as an educator and someone who went, you know, climbed the ranks in education.
That's exactly
so
right. Yeah.
I'm optimistic. I am. I don't know if we'll get to all the things that you and I have talked about here in this short conversation, but I think I'd like to think that I'm hopeful and I'm positive about at least heading back in the right direction. That's all I'll say about that. Hopefully, you know.
Well, any direction from the direction it's been in is going to be in the right direction.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I was just going to say, one of the books I read recently, I can't remember what it was because I read so much, said that we do a really, really good job of getting our kids ready for college as far as taking a test for college, but a really, really bad job of getting our kids actually ready for college and life. I mean, I think that's what you're speaking to. I think, you know, I told my teachers the other day, if you are just delivering content, we are failing, because one thing this has shown us is that a computer can deliver content. So if we cannot differentiate ourselves from a computer, we are going to be automated along with 70% of our jobs, I think is what the projection was for the next 20 years. And that is a scary thing for me. So in what way are educators going to flip the script and essentially be prescriptive and you know, based on the world that we are at now, kind of what you're saying. Everything I'm reading is about the skills. We've got to be churning out kids with skills. We've got to be churning kids out with critical thinking, kids with, you know, those things that we, that are honestly our world needs. So I'm excited like you. I think these next 4 years, we're going to have a different emphasis. I just hope the powers to be let the box get blown up a little bit.
Listen, I'm going to end it right there because I think that wraps up everything we're trying to say nicely. You know, optimistic for change, optimistic that our education system will ultimately catch up to, as we've mentioned here, our economy and our society, whether it's rural, urban, anything, just recognizing the place that schools serve in the world, you know, more of like a meta kind of approach. But I definitely think we've gotten away from that from far too long. So, man, I really appreciate the conversation, and you know, congratulations and good luck to you with your podcast. Thanks for giving us some time here. Obviously, before you go, I would like for you to give the listeners a sense for where they can find you, connect with you on social media, website, anything that you have in case they want to reach out, maybe ask some questions, get some information from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, anybody that's listening, thank you so much for sticking around. You know, sometimes I wonder if what I'm saying, I think that's from anxiety. Sometimes I wonder if what I'm saying is actually holds any merit. So I appreciate that you have stuck around for this entire episode. If you want to connect, I am on Twitter, and that's Ryan C. Scott, 1981, just turned 40. On Facebook.
Yeah. By the time this episode comes out, I will have as well.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about my 40s. So I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. You can check out the Big Ed Idea podcast. It is on Spotify, iTunes, and various other platforms. I would appreciate a listen, a subscribe, feedback. I 120% believe in the 1% rule. So, you know, 1% every day I can only grow 1%. So my podcast can only grow 1% every episode. So send me some feedback and I would love to improve. But yeah, thank you for listening.
All right, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on, man. Good luck to you in your work and you know, the second half of the school year at this point. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate you.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.